I read this story earlier today, and I was quite inspired by it because I don't think everybody would act the same way that this couple acted. And their names are Mike and Caroline Truman. They're from New Brunswick, and they were driving home from Fredericton at the beginning of this month. Very cold day. And they were in the car together on their way. And I want to bring them into the conversation to talk about what they saw that day and what they did. Are you both with us?
Good afternoon, guys.
Hello.
Yes, we're here.
All right.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Caroline.
It's nice to have you on with us this afternoon. Take us back to that day, a cold day in February. You're making your way back home from Fredericton. What do you see on the side of the road?
Well, as we were driving home, we just came over the Jemseg Bridge, and off to the right-hand side, I thought was a pile of garbage laden up against the guardrail. And I thought to myself, that's a pretty crazy place to empty garbage. But after we were just coming up upon that, I realized it's not garbage. It was a person wrapped in a blanket leaning up against the guardrail, and it was just a bump. The only way I knew it was a person was that he had a guitar case laying beside him. So, you know, we ventured past him. I was going by, you know, I was doing the speed limit, went past him, turned around at the next emergency turnover and went back. And I said to the guy, hey, are you okay? Do you need any help? And he basically said, no, I'm doing pretty good. And I said, well, do you have some place to go? He said, yeah, I'm headed for home. And he told us where that was, and it happened to be just outside of our little town. And I said, you weren't hitchhiking. Why not? And he said, well, no one would stop anyway, COVID-19. And I've been 2 days on the road. He had slept in the woods beside the highway the night before. So, you know, I offered him a drive, and we loaded him into the truck. And Caroline, being a mom, she fed him, got the blanket off. We got some heat on him. And as we were heading towards his location, he said, you can just drop me off at the side of the highway. It's only a 5-minute walk. But reality, guys, it was a 15 or 20 minute truck ride into his home. So
now the way you said home sticks out to me as well, Mike. What was his home?
I just wouldn't have any words to describe it. I posted pictures on my Facebook page. But it's basically, if you were to come upon it, you would think it was just a heap of mismatch of everything, an old trailer, pieces of wood, tarps. But one thing I will tell you he did have was a Canadian flag flying very proudly out front. And we since learned that he was a vet and had served his country for 34 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and for me, my dad was in the military for 30 plus years, and my husband's father was in the Navy. And when I saw it, my immediate thought was, this is a foxhole. This is what somebody from the military would dig into a ground and say, okay, this is my safe zone. This is my foxhole.
Wow.
It's my understanding that his feet had gotten wet and they started to freeze halfway through the point of his walk home. Could you feel that cold coming off of him as he entered your vehicle?
Well, it was funny. We drove to Fredericton that morning. We had freezing rain. We had snow. We had rain. We had a little bit of everything. And when we picked him up, his feet were soaked. And I don't think he could have walked anymore. He had another 37 kilometers to go. But my heart was broken, so we had to do something.
He said the most that he could walk was 10 kilometers a day, and he already had it in his brain that he was not going to make it, that he was never going to see his little home or his little cat Skipper again. He already had that in his brain thinking, I won't make it. I'm not going to make it home.
Now, I understand, too, that you guys tried to give him money and stuff like that. He wouldn't have any of it. And you've since been back and brought him food and stuff like that. And he's actually said to you guys, if I can't use this, I'll find somebody that does. This sounds like a real kind-hearted person.
This guy, I'm going to tell you, he didn't ask for one nickel. He's not looking for a handout. He thinks he has the world by the tail. But what he did say to me is, Mike, anything that people drop off to me, if I can't use it, I have friends that can. So he is a very giving guy. He told us about his plans someday when he gets on his feet, he said he hopes to build a facility where people that have PTSD can go and get some help.
And he knows he has PTSD, but he's not seeking treatment. Do you have any idea why?
Well, yeah, I don't know how his mind thinks, and I've talked to some other vets online, and basically one of the characteristics they tell me for PTSD is a lot of these guys that fall out on the wayside cannot seem to fit into what we would call normal society, whatever normal is. So he prefers to be out where he's at. And, you know, lots of people, I must admit, lots of people have gone by and dropped off warm clothes and food and cat food for his cat Skipper. But he's not asked for one thing. You have to offer it and put it in such a way that he has no choice but to take it. You know what I mean?
We live in such a world where, you know, we cover very negative stories every single day, and we live in a world where often those stories are based around ignoring your fellow man and not helping out and hoping that somebody else will and not getting yourself involved. My question, I guess, is twofold. Why did you do it? And do you realize if you hadn't, this story would quite likely have a much grimmer, different outcome to it?
To answer your first part, why we would do it, why not? You know, both Caroline and I lived in big cities, and we've seen homelessness many times.
Ottawa, Toronto.
And you know, you tend to make those people invisible. I have since learned, since leaving the big cities, we live in a small town, we take care of each other. I could not have driven by on my post. I put, yes, I knew we were in the middle of the COVID pandemic. I would not have cared. I would have stopped and picked up anyone. That was not on our mind. And if we didn't stop and pick them up, but I always think there is a destiny. And for some reason, Caroline and I and Ernie were supposed to click, and we clicked that day. And now I call him my friend, and we go visit him. We visit him on family day.
He is family now.
He is family. That's what we told him.
I got to tell you guys, I was born in New Glasgow, Nova Scotia, and you're making me really homesick right now. Just thank you for sharing your story. I appreciate that.
We know what it's all about. We're not here. We're not put on earth to judge.
Amen.
We're put on earth to help when we can. And I've said to people that reached out to us on Facebook, if you can't send anything, if you don't have any money on you, at least acknowledge these people when you walk by them.
Yeah.
Say hello. Make them feel like they're part of us. That's all they're really looking for is acknowledge me. I'm worth something, right?
Yeah, everybody's got a history, and it might be sometimes a history of someone that served our country for 35 years. Thank you both so much for sharing your story.
Really
okay?
Appreciate you doing that today with us.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Take care.
God bless.
God bless. Stay safe.
That's Caroline and Mike Truman. What a story, and what lovely people to tell that story and to do what they did.